David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
He's Hoodie, I'm Cap. We'll talk to Albert Breer in 2 seconds, but Officer Randy wanted to weigh in on the topic we have going with our Thanksgiving draft, and he joins us. Hey, Officer Randy, what's up, man?
Clones.
Yeah, it's Officer Randy. No, it's Officer Andy, bro. You got that as wrong as you did your Thanksgiving
pick. Whoa. Good help is hard to find. I didn't just read what's on the screen, Sparky.
Wow. Officer Randy, Sparkle. And Officer Andy, that's... close.
There you go. Right on. All right.
At least you're not like Officer Rick or something.
You're bagging on LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers for hating on tradition and not realizing it's tradition for the rivalry. And then you're going to spray your cappy poop all over Thanksgiving dinner. Tradition, son. You can't fight both ways there, Flipper.
I what do you want me to say?
Yeah, is it tradition important or is tradition not important? Yes or no?
Because I established my own tradition, and tradition is I eat a steak on Thanksgiving.
Hey, Pilgrim's tradition, baby. You don't get to establish it. What are you going to shoot off on 4th of July? You know, tradition, fireworks. What are you going to go out there with tinsel and lights and put up Christmas crap?
Officer Randy, stay safe and healthy, and give somebody a break if they're speeding, all right?
Hey, I'll be looking for that Corvette with no front plate coming through here, buddy.
Oh, that's you, buddy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't even own the Corvette anymore. I know exactly who this is.
Yeah.
He pulled me over. I didn't have a front plate. Go fight real crime. See you later.
Your dinner's a crime.
See you later.
Your dinner's a crime.
Wow.
How about that? In this country, a good steak and a Bloody Mary is a crime.
A crime.
Even though what you're saying is, I mean, it's a great meal in June, but not for Thanksgiving.
Be you. That's what I live by. Oh, be you.
You don't live by that. Be you means you're going to be fired soon.
Yeah, exactly.
More like PU.
All right, Albert Breer joins us.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood Tuesdays at 8.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer, or do you call him Bert Breer? He is all over the National Football League, and he's with us each and every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m.
And he's got a hell of a man cave he's building down there.
Yes, he does. Albert, good morning. How are you, man? Happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Well, guys, first of all, it's not a man cave. It's an office. That way I can go down there whenever I want. Like, so if it's a man cave, like, that's on my own time. You know what I mean?
But yes.
If it's an office, then no one can bug you while you're in there. So
right.
It's an office.
I'm working.
Yeah, be clear about
Quit
that.
Bothering me. I'm working in here.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
I've never seen an office with those, you know, those $3,000 screens you got down there. Hell of an office you got there, Breer.
It's an office.
Okay.
Most important question for you. Do you think it matters if Mitchell Trubisky gets his gig back and is playing Sunday night and Nick Foles is on the sidelines?
No, because I think we already know that, you know, whoever the coach is next year, whoever the general manager is next year, whoever's calling the shots, is going to go into the 2021 offseason with quarterback right there with the offensive line at the top of the agenda. I mean, look, like the fact that they pulled the plug on Mitch as fast as they did earlier in the year tells you where they stand on him. If declining the fifth-year option hadn't already done that for you. And if anybody was under the illusion that Nick Foles was more than a stopgap, well, you know, the fact that they're considering putting Mitch back in there now tells you, you know, where they stand on that. So, you know, it feels to me right now like, you know, they're going to do everything they can to try to keep themselves in the playoff race with, you know, the full knowledge that they're just getting by at the quarterback position now, and it's going to be a, you know, it's a top of the agenda type of thing for them in 2021.
Albert, what is your letter grade for Tom Brady as a Buccaneer?
That's tough because I would say maybe a B. I think he's been good. You know, I think for the most part, if you watch week to week, like, I think he's been solid. Now, I think what you're seeing now, and having, you know, covered him for the last 15 years, I can tell you, like, you know, he doesn't look as consistent in Tampa, but he's in a less consistent type of place. You know, that operation in New England is so buttoned up and so tight, you know, the way that it runs, you know, that I think, you know, it's a little easier for a player who fits that place to be consistent on a week-to-week basis. And then when you get outside of it, it becomes a little, I guess, probably more difficult to operate. So I think it's been an adjustment for Brady, and I think that's why you're seeing a few more of these blips, like the game against New Orleans, like the picks he threw last night against the Rams. But I think on balance, like, it doesn't look like he's lost a ton physically to me. The one place I think where you can see age is sort of how his clock might be sped up a little bit. We saw that with Favre at the end a little too when he was in Minnesota. You know, but I think for the most part, like, you know, as far as, you know, what they were buying, what the Buccaneers were trying to get when they signed Tom Brady in March, I think they've gotten it. And, you know, we'll see how far it can take them.
So Greg McElroy this morning on ESPN said that watching that offense for Tampa, I think it was, he was talking about the first or second quarter because they were really struggling. He said,
yep,
that's one of the three worst quarters I've seen this year. In fact, watching them offensively then, it was exactly like watching the Chicago Bears. So,
wow.
Are we, you know, here.
This is a drive-by there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, ba-boom. Take that, yeah. Chicago. So my question to you is, while we're all caught up in it here, Bears, Packers, and is Mitch playing, and we got to win, and we're all, like, in the midst of the season, does the national perspective look at our team and actually feel bad for us that we are this pathetic?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you guys aren't the Jets, you know, like, so.
Not far off.
I mean, you're 5-5. And look, like, I think the hard thing for the Bears, and I've said this to you guys all year, is you have this defense that I think you're still capable of winning with, you know, and the sand's running out of the hourglass on that. And, you know, I don't know if it's another year, another 2 years with that core group. You know, your Khalil Max, your Danny Trevathan's, your Eddie Jackson's, like, like your Fuller's. Like, I don't know how, you know, like whether it's 1 year, one more year, 2 more years, but there's no question. Like, the clock's running on that defense now. And I think that's sort of the way the rest of the league at least looks at it, is that, you know, they put together a championship-level defense. And that championship-level defense, as much as it peaked in 2018, it's shown that it's been sustainable over the last few years. And, you know, God, would it be a shame if, you know, you lost the prime of the careers of guys like Mack and Fuller and Jackson while they were all together, you know? And so I think that's why, you know, this offseason sets up to be so interesting for the Bears, because I think because you have that defensive group there, you know, it kind of like creates a fork in the road for you, where it's, are you going to go all in on 2021 and try to fix the quarterback position, like, on the fly without like find some sort of veteran you can bring in who can win right away, fix the offensive line on the fly, or are you going to tear down the thing and rebuild? And so I think because the defense is where it is, and because I think, you know, you only have so much time with a great defense, it creates this sort of fork in the road for the franchise. So to answer your question, I mean, does, you know, the rest of the NFL look at them as a tire fire? No, I don't think that they are. But I do think significant mistakes at quarterback and offensive line are holding, I think, what is a, you know, potentially, you know, historic type of defense back. And, you know, it'd be a shame. I think the way the rest of the league looks at it is, it'd be a shame if you never got the most out of that group because you did make the mistakes in those key areas.
Albert, the Ravens have lost two straight, and we hear Lamar Jackson's comments. It's interesting from a young quarterback, yeah, where there's a lot of honesty. We weren't prepared. They wanted it better than us. What are you hearing out of Baltimore, and what are your thoughts on Lamar Jackson's, you know, brutal honesty from his standpoint?
He's always been that way, so it doesn't surprise me that, you know, he would be honest about it. And you know, he's a guy who's always sort of worn his emotion on his sleeve, so I'm not surprised that he's been, you know, honest when he's been asked direct questions. I would say that I don't think what he's going through is unusual in today's NFL. In fact, like, I think to some degree you guys may have seen it in Chicago. And what I mean by that is, you know, the way you develop young quarterbacks has changed completely, where you draft a guy and you bring him in, and the first thing you do is you don't try to assimilate him to what you're doing anymore. Because the NFL has become more creative and open-minded on offense, you bring him in and you get him ready to go with stuff that he's comfortable with. So you may be importing stuff from college, from high school, stuff that he's familiar with that gets him comfortable, and you really try to get the guy rolling. And that's what the Ravens did with Lamar, and lots of teams have done that with quarterbacks. Carolina did it with Cam back in the day. Washington did it with Robert Griffin. The Broncos did it with Tebow. And, you know, you can do that for so long, and then eventually the quarterback's got to grow past that. And so I think Lamar's sort of at that growing pain stage where, all right, like, we did the stuff that, you know, worked for you in college. We've done some stuff creatively to get you going. Now the league's kind of caught up to some of that stuff, so now you need to grow past that. And it's interesting because I think, you know, again, I would say most young quarterbacks have to go through that. Carson Wentz is another guy who's going through it. You know, Mitch, I think, you know, is somebody that went through it. Like, they did stuff in 2018 to make him comfortable. The league caught up to it, and he wasn't able to figure out a way to counterpunch. But it's definitely been a challenge for young quarterbacks to get to that stage, as we've seen sort of this new way of developing those guys. And I mean, the fact that Lamar's being honest about his struggle going through it doesn't surprise me.
Albert, make us smarter. There's something in your phone or a conversation you've had that you haven't talked to other people about?
I think we're going to be talking about ownership a lot when it comes to the coaching carousel 5-6 weeks down the line. I'll give you guys an example. You know, Denver, I think there are obvious questions now about, you know, whether or not John Elway is the right guy long term there. You know, and obviously he won a Super Bowl and went to two, but they've been in a slump as far as drafting and developing players. How much longer is Vic Fangio there? And, you know, it's interesting. We start to make these phone calls over the last couple of weeks, and you hear, okay, well, ownership's being transferred there, where in a year, you know, you're going to have, you know, you're probably going to have one of Pat Bowlen's daughters, the late Pat Bowlen's daughters, Brittany Bowlen, taking over. So they're going to wait for her to take over. In New York with the Jets, Woody Johnson, when does he get back from the United Kingdom? It sort of feels like they've hit the pause button until Woody gets back from England. Detroit's another one where, you know, there's a transfer in power where the daughter now has the team there. She has no track record. We don't know what she's going to do with Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. I mean, I think people assume Patricia's gone. Does that mean the GM's gone too and there's a clean sweep? So I think, you know, ownership is going to – we're going to hear a lot about different ownership situations and how they affect decisions on general managers and coaches going forward. And in particular, because some of these teams are dealing with economic realities that, quite honestly, lots of businesses in America are dealing with. So I just think there's going to be some of that going on over the next 5 or 6 weeks. And on the flip side, and I think, you know, you guys, like, it's going to be interesting to hear. I'd be interested to hear what it's like in Chicago in this regard. You know, on the flip side, I think there are going to be other teams that might panic a little bit and think, well, you know, our season ticket holders, our fans have been out of the stands for a year. So now we need to do something to generate excitement to go into 2021. And so on the flip side of what I'm talking about with ownership slowing some things down, the fact that teams have to attract fans to come back into the stands and reestablish old habits and how they watch games could cause other teams to panic and maybe pull the trigger on coaches or GMs a year before they were planning to.
Hey, man, have a great Thanksgiving. Are you a turkey guy or no?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I heard you guys, like, the white meat went third in the draft. Is that right?
White meat went third in the draft.
Yeah, I will say this about white meat. My experience with white meat's always been, like, it can be hit or miss. It can be number one, but it has to be done right, because it can be really crappy if it's not done right. You know what I mean?
Yep, 100%
agree. I feel like dark meat's probably more reliable, but doesn't have as high a ceiling.
I agree.
Like, where white meat has a really high ceiling, but it's really easy to screw it up, too.
I've always, my experience is dark meat always comes first. that's just my preference.
Hey, man, have a great Thanksgiving.
That's what you like. All right, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
We appreciate you. There he is, Albert Breer.
By the way, Cap, a side note, you know, what we saw in the game on Monday night, the first black officiating crew.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Which is, it just, what's amazing is that it took all this time for that to happen. Now, right. I see this in the SWAC and MEAC all the time, mm-hmm. on the lower level college football. It's like, yeah, it's African-American officials all over the field. You get that. But for this to happen the first time in the NFL is just strange. Even stranger when you go back in the history of the game, where Mike Carey was the first black official to referee a Super Bowl in 2008.
Jeez.
2008.
That's brutal. But I loved Jerome Bogar, who was the referee's 15th year in the league. Last night, he said, "This is a historic moment. I'm honored to be in that picture of all the officials." But he said, "I don't ever want to hear again, ever, that, hey, it's an all-black officiating crew." He said, "We're officials just like everyone else. This was historic tonight. Now, it's just, we're just a group of officials. That's how I want it to be treated.
That had to happen so that way we can move forward."
Exactly right. That's what he said.
Jerome Bogar, how old do you think he is? First down. How old do you think Jerome Bogar
61.
Is? 65.
Wow.
And put together well,
he
Jerome
is
Bogar.
In good shape. Yeah. All right. Bears-Packers week. We're going back to your calls. Is this just another game? Are you actually excited for Sunday night football? Being your tryptophan-induced coma for 3 days and get ready for the pack. We'll talk to you next.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Welcome back on the Cap J Hood Show, ESPN 1000. Hope you're safe and healthy and ready to rock and roll through a great Thanksgiving weekend. Tomorrow on the show, Jed Hoyer and Dan Wiederer. And we'll talk football, some baseball, and have some laughs as well. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. He's Braggs, and he is in St. John, Indiana. Hey, Braggs.
What's happening, boys?
How are you?
Handsome Braggs.
I'm good. I've been shoveling my yard while I'm listening to your show, and you guys have been talking about
Nick. Wait. Shoveling the yard or the driveway?
Yes. You got to shovel your yard, Cap.
Yeah.
It's the most therapeutic thing you'll ever... Because everybody out here right now, I don't work today, so I had to shovel. So I figured get the rest off. Now everybody in the subdivision has snow, and I don't have snow. It's a beautiful thing. People are driving by. They're very freaked out. You should try it sometime, I'm telling you.
Yeah, a hard pass.
It's weird.
No, he's going to pay someone to do that. He's not going to bend over and do that. The same guy that washes out his garbage cans also does his walk.
Yeah,
you
got to
know that.
I'll tell you what.
I used to do it for my dog. Now it's like for my pride, but it is for my dog. Anyway, so you guys are talking about Mitch and with Bill Lazor, and I agree with you, Hoodie, because I think that would be an interesting dynamic we haven't seen yet. If you go back and watch those first two games, granted they were against, you know, lesser opponents and it was early in the season, people still trying to get acclimated with the weird offseason, but they were running the ball much differently, obviously under the I formation and then doing, you know, play action rollout off of that with Mitch, and they had some success. I'm not saying it was great, but it's certainly better than what we've seen here as of late. And with Foles, when they run the RPO, it just doesn't develop, and to me they might have a better shot the other way. It's worth a shot to try, and if they don't, they will be embarrassed on Sunday Night Football, and it'd be really frustrating to see them just lay down and do that. I'd like to see them try something else before the season completely gets away from them, and that's this Sunday against the Packers. So, you know, at this point, Nagy put his pride down and put the play sheet down. Now they need to double down on that and put Mitch back in if both are healthy. If Mitch is just healthy, it will be interesting to see how Bill Lazor calls plays with Mitch. So I definitely agree with you there, Hoodie.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, Braggs.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great holiday.
Yeah, so,
yeah, you too. I'll catch up.
So Mitch is in there with Lazor, and then Nagy comes in. All right, guys. All right. So what? And if I'm Mitch, I'm like, Coach, can I have a minute with Coach Lazor? Yeah, sure. Could you and close the door behind you? Could do. All right. We got the Arena League guy out of here. Now, it's me and you. Let's go. Now, how can we make this better?
Yeah.
Let's get he's out of the equation. Come on, Lazor. It's me and you.
Let's go I formation when we need it for power.
Yep.
Roll me out. Yep. Cut the field in half. Let me use my legs. Let me make throws on the run. And let's see if we can make something happen.
Now, Mitch is savvy. If he's a businessman, right? I don't mean a businessman. I mean if he's a businessman, mm-hmm. right? He's like, look, Laser, here's what's going to happen. If you make me look good and I make you look good, we're both out of here. You'll be a head coach soon, and I'll be with another team starting. Take that.
Getting paid.
Let's go.
We'll both get paid.
Don't worry about the Arena League guy outside the door here. Like, let me see these plays. That's a lot different from coach. Sold. Let's go.
Matt will walk in and go, let me see the game plan. Wait a minute. We didn't run any of this stuff when I had him. What are you doing?
All right, coach. Yep. Have a great Thanksgiving. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
We're good, coach.
Yep.
Give me that Denny's menu back.
Nope. Got it, man.
Sorry. You're out.
Back to the phone lines we go.
312-332-3776. Victor is in Oak Park, Illinois. What's up, Victor?
Cap, Hoodie, good morning. How you guys doing?
How are you?
Hi, Victor.
Good. Hi. Cap, sorry about your omelet, man.
Yeah. Sparky enjoyed it.
Yeah, my dog once got a good chunk of brisket. I was slow cooking all day.
Oh.
Luckily, not all of it, but it was heartbreaking. It was the slices I had put aside just for me, you know, Pitmaster's
yep.
cut.
Yep, the ones you wanted.
Yep. That's sad.
Anyway, I wanted to just say, what was I going to say? Mitch, I was never the guy called, like, screaming, like, put Mitch back in. But at this point, you know, like, the four losses in a row, I'm like, spirit is almost broken. So, like, let's just try it because the last game when I was watching it, you know how they put up, they put all their possessions on the screen? And I'm just reading it. It's like, okay, punt, second possession, punt, third, turnover, punt, punt. I'm sitting there and I'm just like, if Mitch was in, it's very possible on one of these drives, the pocket collapses and he does make like a 43-yard run and scores a touchdown or like, you know, gets tackled on the 3-yard line that sets him up nicely to score. And how many games have we been in where one more touchdown, if we would have gotten just one more touchdown, it would have been a win, you know? So, I mean, let's try it. Why not? We're here. We're in this position with, you know, the O-line and a coach that is just in some other world reading his Denny's menu. So that's all I had to say. Let's just try Mitch because, you know, maybe the stars will align and something strange will happen in our favor.
Hey, man, have a great holiday, okay?
You guys too. Oh, and Braggs, if he wants any more therapy, he could come shovel my sidewalk as much as he wants.
Braggs, get out there to Oak Park and start getting on Victor's lawn.
That's right. It's lots of therapy over here, man.
Lots of therapy. See you, Victor.
See you, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Is it really coming down out there?
It must be.
Must be in those two places. It wasn't, I mean, it was snow on the south side was melting quickly. I needed to melt quickly because, like, you know, when the snow comes down in my area in South Shore, like, we don't get trucks coming through there.
None?
No. In June, maybe.
What about the Whole Foods? Do they get the parking lot done there?
No. All that. It stays there until June.
Hard pass.
Yeah. We'll get to it one day.
Hey, we finished this street. You want us to head over to, like, 75th and no.
Lunch!
Take a break.
That's not
wow.
true.
James is up in Gurnee. Hey, James, what's up, Sparky?
What's going on there? Happy belated birthday, Remedy.
Appreciate it.
Let me put a little disclaimer on this because we kind of stink. But having said that, little LaFleury, let's go in there and kick some butt to Packer blank, and then we'll see how quickly his rivalry attitude changes when the media's all over him. So that was just, come on, LaFleur. I mean, I know he's young, but all we got to do is go in there and stomp some Packer tushish, and that whole attitude of little LaFleury will change really quickly. But we have to have a squad that can do that, so we'll see. Have a great Thanksgiving, boys. Love you.
You too. See you, James.
There you go. I wonder what has Matt said about the rivalry? Is Matt lukewarm about it? I don't remember Nagy.
I don't remember him really. I think he kind of embraced it. If I remember correctly, I haven't heard anything this week. Like, he'll just say, look, we're just trying to find a way to win a game, man. I don't care if we're beating Deerfield High School. We got to win.
I get it. But, you know, Lovey is to your credit. You were talking about Lovey. Lovey understood the rivalry.
He absolutely understood the rivalry.
He understood it.
We had Mike Holmgren on one day, and the question was asked about the rivalry. He said, I literally got into town. I haven't even got to my press conference yet. I walk into the grocery store to buy something. And he said, this got to be 90-year-old woman walks up and said, "Coach, I don't really care if you go 2-14. You better beat the Dirty Bears twice." He goes, "It was impressed on me from day one. It's a rivalry." And he never forgot that. Bears-Packers week, 312-332-3776. You can join the show. And we'll continue with our Thanksgiving draft, because if you're in my draft room, holy smokes, everything that's gone around me, I have zero interest in. I think I'm putting together an all-star meal. We'll talk about it.
No, you're not putting an all-star meal together.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, in July.
So good.
Not in November.
Because most of you out there are like, "I guess I got to eat turkey and stuff. I don't even want, but it's tradition."
No, there's
be
a...
you.
No, you can have different ways. It doesn't have to be the dry turkey that grandma used to make. You can make your turkey exotic. You know you could do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the idea that, "Oh, turkey's so dry, I got my porterhouse. Take that. Okay, that's fine. But when Sparky eats half of it, you'll be ruined on Thanksgiving.
Hard pass on that.
He's going to get up there like, "Oh, that tastes good, Dad."
That thing's going to be kept way up high. Way up high. We'll get your thoughts. Be right back.
We'll get back to your phone calls in a moment here on Cap and Jay Hood. Tis the season for giving, and to celebrate the start of the most joyous time of the year, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is giving all users a shot at their $25 million Thanksgiving giveaway. That's right, a share of up to $25 million in prizes is up for grabs this Thursday. Getting your share of up to $25 million in prizes is easy. All you gotta do is enter one of the DraftKings paid Thanksgiving football contests and feast on your favorite instant prize. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code WMVP. For a limited time, all users can get a share of $25 million in prizes this week. Don't miss out on Thursday's action. Enter code WMVP to get a share of $25 million in instant prizes whenever you enter a paid football contest on Thanksgiving. That's code WMVP only at DraftKings. Make it rain. $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Itching your morning sports fix. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Bears-Packers week, and it's Thanksgiving. And we have our draft ongoing. So far, yours truly has created Bloody Marys and a New York strip.
That sounds great, man. I mean, that's a great Thanksgiving meal. What's it like, by the way, putting your Thanksgiving meal together through the tinted windows of the limo that you sit in every day?
Oh, my God.
It's got to be hard to see where real people live, the grassroots, people struggling every day through the tinted window.
Oh, those guys are just having traditional turkeys. That sucks for them. I got a steak. Take that! Look at that guy. He's got a brown bag of liquor. He must not be living right. I got a Bloody Mary. Take that!
It must be hard, Cap, through the tinted windows of the limo.
Wow.
Every day. While we are, we are struggling, you know, all the rest of us. Just trying to go paycheck to paycheck, trying to figure things out. How can I cut the light on every 30 days? But you, dark windows of the limo.
I got my steak, I got my dogs, and I got my Bloody Mary mix. And you got nasty turkey. Take that!
Oh, that's good. That's good, Cap.
Oh, my God.
You're really the everyday. You're really the everyday man. I tell you what.
Hey, be you, man.
Be you. P.U. Back to the phone lines we go.
And don't forget, at 8:50, Tyler's back on the clock for his third round pick in our Thanksgiving draft.
P.U.
Let's go to Peter in Miami, Florida, our friend. Hey, Peter, what's up, man?
Good, man. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, Pete.
Good. Well, this year I'm going to have a Thanksgiving meal like yours, Cappy, because there's no travel and my wife got COVID, so I'm taking care of two kids and a patient. So
God bless you, man. Stay safe, okay?
Thank you. The best we could do is a New York strip on the grill, so that's going to be it. But
awesome.
The reason I called was about the rivalry thing.
God.
That should be used as bulletin board material. If you take any soccer rivalry in Europe and a coach said something like that, as LaFleur said, the fans would want him fired today.
Yeah. Well, because for some people,
that's
serious. Yeah, for that, for a lot of fans, it's that serious.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I've told the story about one of our old players at Northern, Carl Armato. His late father, Sam, got a brand new couch, and they blocked the kick of Chester Markholm, and he scooped up the block and ran it in. He got so mad. Sam was a big dude, 300 pounds, jumped up, landed on the couch that just had got put in the day before, and the frame snapped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
People take it serious.
Pete, we appreciate it, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Stay safe. Best to your wife, okay?
Thank you.
See you, kid.
He's having a steak. Hope you make some for your family. Go ahead. I mean, who made it?
Daddy, where's the turkey? We don't eat turkey.
No, he's fine. He's in South Beach.
He's in South Beach.
White sand. Ah, 80 degrees. He's got a nice steak, and the rest of the family don't get any chance to eat anything. That's
Nothing.
A shame. Yeah, it's like you.
Nothing.
Back in the limo.
That's
you and
it.
Pete.
That's it. Me and Pete.
Yep. Dark windows.
Back to the phones, 312-332-3776. Brian in Jefferson Park. Hey, Brian, what's up, man?
What's up, Cap? What's up, Hoodie?
What's
Happy
up, Brian?
Giving it up both of you. How you been, Hoodie? Last time I called, I didn't get to talk to you. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Yes, sir.
All right. I like to hear it. So now, Cap. All right. I used to be the same way as you. Didn't like turkey. Never was a fan. Always dry. It was horrible. I used to do the steaks.
Yep.
But here's the thing. So now that everything's legal here, what I want you to do is I want you to get really, really, really blasted. Smoke a big, fatty bit. Double what you usually do. And I want Mindy to deep fry a turkey in peanut oil for you, because I don't need you getting high, messing with a deep fryer, starting fires and stuff like that. That's just bad news written all over. You're going to be able to take that at yourself as you're burning down your house. So, yeah, I really suggest you get nice and lit. Let Mindy do the cooking, deep fry that turkey, and enjoy a deep fried turkey. Man, it was life changing for me, and I never want to have turkey any other way besides that. I mean, it's definitely worth it.
I got to agree with Brian here. Having a deep-fried turkey, if you've never had it, it's fantastic. Super juicy, and I agree with him about the first part, too.
Hey, Brian, thanks, man. Appreciate you. Have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
All right. Roll one up, bud. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, see you later. Roll one up.
Wow.
Did you ever think you could talk about weed openly on the air?
No.
As much as we are in our career? Because this was just completely forbidden. Like, you weren't doing any of that. Now.
None of it.
Now just wide open.
Yeah, now I'm seeing things pop up, like the Tribune has an article. Yeah, all the dispensaries are having a, what did they call today, Weed Wednesday? Like a special.
Weed Wednesday.
Maybe it's in the Sun Time. I saw it today. There's like a big article for anyone that wants to go buy. There's something in here, and I'll find it, where you can go actually buy your weed. Yeah, here it is. It's called Green Wednesday. Forget Black Friday. Here's where you can score cheap weed on Green Wednesday. All the dispensaries in the area running specials.
You found that in the paper today, huh?
I did.
Yeah, that's good.
Never thought I'd be seeing that.
Or talking about it openly.
Openly.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe we can have our pumpkin pie, but have it baked in with some edibles in there. Well, you sound experienced.
No shot. Not having that turkey, Wendy. Hoodie.
Wow.
Turn it. Cut the light off. He's openly talking. He says you got to have weed with your turkey. Why can't you just have the turkey? Do you have to be high?
Exactly.
Do you have to be?
Right.
I think that should be on occasion. Does it have to be? Are they connected?
To Brian, they are.
Double what you usually do? You want to be able to remember the meal, don't you?
Exactly.
Jeez. I think I had a great meal. I just don't remember it. Take that. But that doesn't make sense. You want to be able to enjoy it. And then afterwards. Like, that could be the new, like, after dinner meal, right?
Instead of a cream de menthe, have an edible.
Right. That's fine. Afterwards. But I want to remember the meal. It's like you're just going to
How was the meal? I have no idea. I've been stoned and drunk all day.
So high. Do I have TV today? Take that.
You owed it, Sylvia?
Just drunk. Andy!
Wow. All right, more Bears Packers.
Andy!
Tyler is on the clock for round three of our Thanksgiving draft. What's your go-to? Are you a turkey fan or are you not like me?
I need to go to jail, Andy. Open up the cell.
Thanks, Otis.
No problem.
We'll be right back.
See you Monday.
Hey, open enrollments here through GetCoveredIllinois.gov. You'll find all the affordable health insurance and essential health benefits information you need to give you and your family peace of mind.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. We are in the throes of Bears Packer week, and we're on the clock for round three of our Thanksgiving meal draft, or your, you know, what you're going to eat all day. If you've got a thought, a comment, a question, do you have a tradition, a food tradition, maybe we should know about, 312-332-3776.
You said a thought, right?
Yeah.
Not a thought?
A thought.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
And that puts Tyler Aki on the clock on our snake draft for two picks.
Yeah, to recap quickly, Tyler went pumpkin pie, turkey leg. Cap went Bloody Mary steak. And JR went white meat sweet potatoes with marshmallows. Do I have that right?
Correct.
Correct.
Brought to you by Boston Market. And then we've got dark meat and dressing for me.
How about that?
Cornbread dressing, like Mom used to make.
There you go. And that puts Tyler on the clock.
Well, I can't believe this is still around here in the third round. We are going to get to the mashed potatoes here. One of the most underrated dishes, I think, of the Thanksgiving season.
Where's the mashed potatoes?
Damn it! That was my next pick.
Really? I thought you were going to go for, like, freeze pops or something like that.
That's a good pick, Tyler. Good pick.
Your pool noodle, too?
Wow. All right. Mashed potatoes is off the board.
I had white fish, Mindy. Take that.
All right, Tyler, you get one more selection here.
That was technically my double up.
Oh, that was your double up pick. So I'm on the board.
Yep.
So that puts me up. And I will choose cherry pie. Cherry pie is off the board. Because I'm not a huge apple pie guy. It's okay. Cherry pie's way better.
America! He said, America!
So I go, cherry pie comes off my draft board.
Nothing's more America than a steak and a Bloody Mary and a cherry pie. That's America!
We're watching Cubs Reds later, too.
JR?
Wow. JR, you're on the board, kid.
Happy it's still here, and I'm very specific in my desire here. I am going cranberry sauce. Now, I need the canned with the rings on it. I don't want your homemade, your aunt's recipe. I want the one straight out of the can. Yes, I am that simple.
Where's the cranberry sauce?
Cranberry sauce literally might be number 225 on my list.
That's fine. Ugh. All right.
Awful.
We move on. Do I get the snake draft
you
now?
You get the snake draft.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay, we got to have something green out there as far as a vegetable. I'm going collard greens. Collard greens.
Can I ask a question? I'm hitting the head a few times. What is a collard green?
It's a vegetable. And then I'm going to go from there, and then I will go. You know what? I'm going to take some sort of brown liquor. And I'm going to go with, may not be Crown Royal. It might be its cousin Jim, as in Beam. It might be a Beam stopping by.
Nice. So brown liquor is off the board.
Brown liquor.
Okay.
And collard greens.
And we go back to, JR? We go back to JR.
Pie seems to be a very popular choice. I'm going to continue down that road and choose pecan pie.
Write that down. Oh, why is it a bad pick? Why? Why can't you like pecan pie?
I don't like it. That puts me back on the clock, and this is a very easy selection. because I have a trade in mind that I've got to acquire.
You want my collards, don't you?
No.
Why wouldn't you want them? It's part of.
I don't know what it is.
It's part of Southern cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You've got hearty kale in there. You've got
like
cabbage
kale
in there. It's a mixture of a number of different things that can become collard greens, and they're healthy.
There you go. I might have to acquire collard greens.
I can't believe that you did recruiting in the inner city and don't know what collard greens are.
I've heard of them. I just don't know exactly what it is.
They didn't put down the plate for you to get that kid that you wanted?
They did not.
Okay. Pork chops.
Cornbread. Pork chops. Yeah. Cornbread.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I am going to select gravy. Thick gravy is off the board. I am taking it, and that is an asset I might be able to trade for something that I want. Gravy
pair
is
nicely
gone
with that New York strip.
I hope you're forced to take that one to opening day and pair those together.
I do not want to have that at opening day, but that is what I am selecting. And that puts Tyler back on the clock. Tyler?
Let's go with some of Mom's baked mac and cheese.
It's not a Thanksgiving side.
What do you mean that's not a Thanksgiving side?
It is. It is, actually.
Thanksgiving as mac and cheese.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Especially if it's a certain kind. If it's just basic Kraft, no.
No, but a baked mac and cheese, yeah. You put it in the oven for a little bit, some
absolutely
breadcrumbs on top, yeah.
Absolutely. Wow.
Absolutely.
I mean, just wow. I would like to propose a trade before Tyler makes, we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour, but I would like to acquire mashed potatoes, and I will trade you my future number one pick in next year's draft for mashed potatoes this year.
No shot. No shot.
Wouldn't do it. How about that?
I'm Ryan Pace. I'll trade you my next two number one picks.
A shot. I'm going to need four.
Ooh.
Are you the guy with the Seahawks in draft day?
He wants Ricky Williams.
Wow. All right. Jed Hoyer spoke about the future of the Cubs. We will hear from the new president and continue our Thanksgiving draft in 2 minutes.